And friends, I bring grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray once more. Lord God, you bring us a new day with a fresh sunrise, with air to breathe, with lives to live. God, you provide everything for us, for this body, for this life. Lord, breathe into our hearts and our minds your word and your spirit in this moment, that we can see you, that we can hear you, we can love you and believe and live. In your name, amen. So, unintended consequences. You had a good plan. You executed the plan, and maybe some good things happened, but maybe there were some things you never occurred to you. You never planned on it going a particular way. And when that happened, maybe there was somebody that got offended, somebody that got excluded that you never meant to exclude. It's just, it happened. These are unintended consequences. And sometimes you can just be like, it's just how it happened. It's unfortunate. Sometimes, though, maybe you're like me, and when these things happen, you tend to spiral ever so slightly inside, and then you start believing that little bitty spiral where you're like, oh, if only I had, how come I didn't? And because I didn't, because I couldn't, I must be the worst, right? And so that can spiral real quick into, well, there's no point in anything. There's no purpose in anything. Why should I even try? I'm not going to anymore. And so all of a sudden, the bleakness of, with the exception of today, the bleakness of a Midwest winter sky can match the bleakness of your own soul. Right? Don't let the darkness fool you. In your unintended consequences, Jesus shows that he knows you. In a season where you lack point or purpose, Jesus shows you his power. In a bleak sky with a bleak outlook, Jesus gives you a hope and a future. So where we're broken, when we've lost the image of God, Jesus restores the image, making us whole. Now, where does that whole image of God stuff come from? It actually comes from Genesis. And if you're not familiar with what Genesis is, Genesis is the first book in the Bible. And the end of chapter 1, where God talks about how he made humans, and at the beginning of chapter 2, where he talks again about how he makes humans, he talks about how God, he says, let us. Now, maybe it's a royal us, right? Or maybe it's like the Trinity talking to itself, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit saying, let us make humans in our own image. You were made in the image of God. Hear that. You were made in the image of God. So you, existing, being alive, that's an expression of God's image. Male and female, both carry that. And as you read a little bit more in Genesis, you read in chapter 3 how humans, the very image of God, break that image. So you are created in the image of God, and you, like Adam and Eve then, and every human since, break and are broken versions of that image. So that sounds like something that's even greater than like existence. It's greater than anything, any cosmic power. There's some kind of other power that is the only thing that would be able to solve that, and that would be true. That is true. And that's what Paul is talking about in Colossians chapter 1. See, the believers in this town called Colossa are they're followers of Jesus, and there's other stuff happening, right? The Midwest during winter is not the only time life can seem bleak, right? 2,000 years ago in Colossa, there were things happening in people's lives, many of which we don't know about. Just like you here today, you are not aware of the things going on in other people's lives around you, right? And just like back then, there were a lot of things happening in people's lives in Colossae, and we don't know exactly what those were, but there were other teachings popping up in Colossae that were saying, it's Jesus, but it's also this. Jesus sounds nice, but actually, if you really want to solve things, you need to do X, Y, and Z. And so just like today, when there's lots of advice, lots of self-help, lots of ways of people encouraging you to fix things on your own, Paul is reminding the Colossians then and you and me here and now that actually it is only Jesus. It's only Jesus that breaks through the darkness and the bleakness and the things that we've ruined intentionally or unintentionally. And he restores what we've lost. He restores what we've broken. Jesus restores God's image. And when Jesus restores God's image, he makes you whole. That is Paul's point. And so as we go through the text here, I hope you catch three things from this. That the image of God illustrates intention. The image of God finds what's lost, and the image of God makes whole. The image of God illustrates intention. The image of God finds what's lost, and the image of God makes whole. So let's dive in to that first point. The image of God illustrates intention. Let's go to verses 15 and 16. Read this along with me. The very first word is he, but if you'll say that with me as Jesus, that'll help kind of anchor us in who this is talking about. So Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. So if you're wondering what your purpose is in this life and in this world, you exist through Jesus and you exist for Jesus. Whether you realize it or not, whether you believe it or not, Jesus is the one that holds all things together, and through him and for him, you were made. Your existence testifies to Jesus' existence. And Jesus' existence means he is the one that is holding you together right now. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Now that could seem a little wonky, considering Jesus wasn't born until like 2,000 years ago. And no matter how you date the world, there is existence before that. So, and it also isn't Jesus God? So like, how does this work that Jesus is eternal, so that he has no beginning and no end, and yet he was born and he died? Like, how do we reconcile all of that? And it's not easy, I'll tell you that. It's not easy because you have to check how, you have to check the way your logic functions. So if your logic says, this is the way things are, it can be nothing else, you're going to run into problems in life. And not just with this. There are going to be other things in life that do not make sense, that defy your logic. And so at some point, your logic is going to break down, whether that's today or maybe it happened earlier, or maybe it's going to keep happening. But however that works, your logic will only take you so far. And so when you hit that, when you run into something like this, where it's Jesus as the eternal God, and also fully human, what do you do with that? You say that both things are true. Jesus is fully God, 100% God, no beginning, no end. And he's also the person that was born to Mary and Joseph in a manger 2,000 years ago and died about 30 years later. And rose again. Both things are true. And Jesus comes to you today through his word and through his spirit to give you that power to hold both of those things in tension with each other. All things have their origin, their meaning, their identity, their purpose in Jesus. And so when we veer from that, we begin to lose those things. When we veer away from Jesus, one way or the other, we all too easily lose sight of the reason why we're alive, our origin, our meaning, our identity, our purpose. If Jesus is the one that holds that all together and we turn away from him, then we'll create distance, doubt, despair between that. I had the opportunity to hear one of Tanner Olson's poems read by him on Wednesday. And if you're not familiar with Tanner Olson, I encourage you to pick up a book, search it out. You can Google him. He's cool. There was one poem he read. I'll share an excerpt with you. He says, "God don't make mistakes. You are not a mistake." And my mind kind of took that and just go with me real briefly with it. And basically, my thinking went like, you are an intention. You are intentional. You are God's intention, which means that God intended you to be here. And not just here, like sitting in this room at 11:12 on a Sunday morning. God intended you to exist, to live and work and play and learn in all those different places where that happens. And that also means that God also intended for all those other people that you encounter here and those four other places, he intended them to be there too. And God gives you something to either encourage them if they're already following Jesus, or God gives you something to share with them if they don't know who Jesus is just yet. You are an intention. You are God's intention for here and now. And when that gets messed up and lost in your own head, Jesus restores God's image, making you whole. All right, Pastor Chris, I'm not a mistake, fine. But I've made mistakes. I've made so many mistakes. I've made so many horrible mistakes that there's no way back for me. There's no way back for me with some of the people, all the bridges I've burned. In fact, I've burned so many bridges, I've even burned the rebuilding materials that could possibly be used to rebuild any bridges. All of that is gone. I have no way back. I am lost to too many people now. It's not going to work for me. And I don't see the point in trying. I'm lost, and I'm just going to have to live with that. Jesus, the image of God, finds what's lost. Let's go to verses 19 and 20, where Paul says this. Read with me if you like. "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." Everything and everyone are within reach, or are within the reach of Jesus. Everyone and everything are within the reach of Jesus, restoring the image of God. And what is that image of God? It's somebody that looks a lot like you, filled with grace and truth and love. That's not dissuaded or that is not given to despair despite how dark and drastic the circumstances are. And there are people who follow Jesus who, according to our logic, would have no reason following Jesus. A Roman centurion, an occupying force, putting more faith in Jesus to heal his servant than ever made sense to anyone in Israel. A confused Pharisee who didn't understand some of the things of God he was supposed to be teaching, that he sat down with Jesus and Jesus was teaching him, and He has to meet with Jesus in secret because he doesn't want to get cast out, and yet he's confused. And Jesus even says to him, "You are a teacher in Israel, and you don't understand this?" And yet, this Pharisee still follows Jesus. And there's also this thief on the cross, a thief who deserves to die for his sin in the manner in which he's dying, and yet recognizes the one hanging next to him does not deserve to be there. And even though it defies the thief's own logic, this guy dying on the cross next to him as a condemned person deserving death, knowing he doesn't deserve death, believes actually that this is the Messiah and says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Defies his own logic there too. Jesus himself on the cross. If you've been to Emmaus for a little while, you may have heard me say that. And if you are tired of me hearing it, say, too bad, because you need to hear it as much as I do. Jesus on the cross takes your sin and mine, takes it into himself, the blood on the cross. If we can go back to the last, yeah. See, he makes peace by taking the sin that's yours, all the mistakes, everything that you feel makes you such a lost person. Jesus takes that into himself, and he makes peace with it. He makes peace with God for you. So there is nothing, right? Jesus takes, he reconciles to himself all things, all people. There is nothing that is beyond the reach of Jesus, because Jesus died once for everything from the beginning of time through the end of time. It's all covered by his blood on the cross. That is why he came. That's why he was born in a manger, because where he was born, the pomp and circumstance around it didn't matter as much as what he was here to do, which is to save you, to make peace with God for you. And when that happens, then we have a real opportunity for peace with each other. Isaiah had a glimpse of this. Isaiah was a prophet during the times of Israel's kings. And during that time, people were turning from the right and the left. They were turning away from God. They were creating distance between themselves and God. And Isaiah spoke these words to them. He says, he wrote, and he prophesied, "Whether you," and this is where we can go down to the next verse, "and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it,' when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left." So no matter which way you turn away from God, he is coming after you, speaking his word to you, calling you to the way, calling you to himself. And so as God is coming here to you today, calling you to himself, reminding you, teaching you all over again that he is reconciled you to himself. That work is done. That peace has been made. Yeah, okay. But I'm so broken, it's not worth it. All the stuff that Jesus has made right, I'll just mess it up again. My friends, Jesus restores God's image, making you whole. And that takes us to our last point today, how the image of God makes us whole, right? It restores us to what God created you for in the first place. Let's read these last couple of verses, 21 and 22. "And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." Alienated, hostile, doing evil. And evil, sometimes so bad that you call it evil, right? as far as we have been from God, as far as you ever will be from God, in Christ, God calls you holy, blameless, above reproach. What does above reproach mean? It's not a phrase we use that much. It means that your integrity is rock solid. It means God sees you as someone that has never failed. That is how God views you in Christ. Now, despite your sin, despite the things that we will still do wrong later today and between now and the time Christ returns, God still calls you holy. He calls you blameless. He considers you as one that is above reproach, above suspicion, right? This is you now. And this isn't just you, right? This is everyone who's here today. This is all the heroes that fill the pages of Scripture. And as you get older and you read some of those stories in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, there are some people who do some really seriously troubling, messed up things. And those people God calls holy, blameless, above reproach. And this is everyone who has ever filled, who fills or will ever fill God's church. Jesus restores God's image, making you whole. This came home to me when I was in high school. I was about 15, and I had done a youth evangelism trip out to Utah with some group of peers, and there's a girl, and you've heard me tell this story before, but she had dyed her hair, and she was just, you know, getting perspectives on it. And at that time, I was a 15-year-old, right? Can't emphasize that enough. I was not smart, okay? And apologies to any 15-year-olds in the audience today, but also a bit of a warning for you. I expressed to her that I really, so she had dyed her hair, right? And I expressed to her, it's like, I really liked your hair the way it was, because I just wanted to affirm her and who she was as a person. That was my intention, right? Unintended consequence, and I didn't know this till at least 2 years later, that she went into a bathroom, once she arrived at her destination, she went into a bathroom and cried for a little bit because she was so hurt by my words that I intended to be uplifting and affirming. And that kind of soured our friendship for 2 years. And she and her friends never told me. And they're like, what did you think happened? I'm like, I had no idea. I thought, like, you all were seniors and I was just this, you know, lowly sophomore you didn't want to associate with, because, like, that also happens. But come to find, and so we're at another engagement, we're both working on something, and she finally shares this, and I was like, oh, that was a really terrible thing to say. I'm so sorry. And she was able to forgive me there, right? Now, that didn't go back in time and make my words any less damaging. It didn't go back in time and undo those 2 years of alienation between me and this group of friends. What it did do was something that I couldn't do on my own, and she couldn't either, really, was to forgive it. She was able to forgive me. And because of the lack of awareness, lack of knowing, right, I was ignorant, I was able to forgive myself for that. And so the spiral stopped, right? Jesus restores God's image in us. He makes us whole. And that making us whole isn't something that, at least it may not feel like it happens instantly, right? But it is something that God promises is happening in real time, right? Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection means he is beginning to restore all things. And the fact that we're not fully restored means that his work is not done yet, which is another word of hope for you, because as much as God has intended for you to exist and to be here, it means he also has better things in mind for you as days go on. Whether you're far from him or you're close to him or anywhere in between, God is with you, bringing that voice and that power and that grace to you. It also means that there will be a day where you will be fully restored, better than you ever were. A day where you will be completely made whole, and all of the spiraling in your head and your heart will stop, and you will truly live at peace. And until that day, while Jesus is actively restoring you, the Father already looks at you and calls you loved, calls you holy. He calls you blameless, calls you above reproach, because in you, Jesus restores the image of God, making you whole. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word and your action. Lord, we tend to separate that. We tend to separate things into words that are spoken and actions that are done, but you bring it all together. You do the work and you speak the words. And we need it all, Lord, to hold us in faith when it's so much easier to believe something else, to help us to believe your word, to help us to live by faith, to help us to forgive, and to help us to seek forgiveness. But it is by you and your Spirit, your existence in us, bringing that image back, that we get to live and believe and do this. And we pray that you continue your good work in us now and until the day you return. In your name, amen.